morning and welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. It is good to be here with you, and as I told a new friend in the back, it's good to be new with you. So thank you for welcoming me here as my first Sunday as your pastor. Believe it or not, that was not a fishing for applause, so whether you're a member, a long-time attender, if you're a guest with us, we're glad that you're here. We know it's cold and rainy, and you could have been anywhere else this morning, but it is good to be together in the house of the Lord this morning. We do ask that you take a moment and fill out the friendship pad that you can find in your pew. If you're a member, it just lets us know that you were here with us, and if you're a guest, it gives us a little more information about who you are so that we can extend our welcome beyond this time of worship together. At Greystone, all are welcome, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you do professionally or what you do in your spare time. There is always a place for you here, and we're so glad that you're here. On this first Sunday after Epiphany, we are remembering the baptism of Jesus through readings, music, prayer, silence, and response. We will have opportunities today to remember the ways that God has worked throughout history, offering grace and love, forgiveness, and acceptance to all people in times of need. In recognition of that God has called us God's own, God's beloved, and with gratitude for all that God is doing in our lives and in this community, let us worship God together.
And I offer my warm welcome this morning. I'm Mike Eller, minister of music. It's great to be in the house of God on a new year, especially in a warm place. We consider that a gift on a day like today. It's important that all of our voices come together for this moment of worship. And we notice that even in our opening reading that you have a part to play, a word to say, a phrase to give. And we're going to do that by standing together. If you will, take your worship guide with you. And proclaiming the reign of the Lord, Lord Most High, the song that will follow this opening reading. So let's read these words together as we enter into worship. In holy splendor we worship the Lord.
In God is glory and strength. The Lord is mighty. God is with us.
In torrents and storms God's peace pervades.
In rumbling thunder.
The whisper of the Lord snaps silence.
The unwavering sound persists. The Lord is awesome. God is with us.
As flames being fanned, the presence grows.
In its shadow, the wilderness flees. The Lord is powerful. God is with us.
Enthroned, God rules the universe.
The peaceful scepter prevails. God reigns.
In whirling winds, nature acknowledges glory.
The people in the temple rejoice. It is certain God is with us.
Thanks be to God. Let's worship. Would you sing it after me? From the ends of the earth.
From the ends of the earth,
from the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea,
from the heights of the heavens,
from the heights of the heavens,
your name be praised, from the hearts of the weak,
from the hearts of the weak,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the lips of all people.
Sing it out.
This song we raise, Lord, throughout the endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord. Most High, exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord. Most High, be magnified.
Sing it after me.
From the ends of the earth,
from the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the heights of the heaven,
your name be praised from the hearts of the weak,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the lips of all people. This song we raise, Lord, and throughout the endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord, most high, exalted in every nation, the sovereign of all creation, Lord.
Throughout the endless ages, sing it out.
Throughout the endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord, most high. Exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord, most high, be magnified.
Our prayer this morning.
Good morning. If there are any other children who want to come down, you're welcome to come and join us. So I think it's really cool that today is Name Tag Sunday. I love Name Tag Sunday because it helps me remember everybody's name. But I have a question. Did you put your whole name on your name tag? No? Let me see. Where's yours? Did you even put, you don't even have yours. Did you put your whole first name or just part of your first name? You did? You put your whole first name? You put Montana? Yeah. You wrote your whole name? Montana Grace Austin? Yeah. Well, I only wrote my first and last name, and I see lots of my friends just wrote their first name. But a lot of us have at least three names, right? You have a first and a middle and a last name. If you hear somebody call your first name and your middle name and your last name, what does that usually mean? It usually means you're in trouble, right? A lot of times. That means that it's either mommy or daddy kind of maybe calling your name because you're in trouble. Yeah. Another time that we hear our whole name is when we're doing something really important. So when we dedicate babies at church, we use their whole name. And when you get baptized here at Greystone, as we put you into the waters, we say your whole name. When you get married, the pastor is going to say your whole name when you tell your husband or your wife that you're going to love them forever. When you've signed really important pieces of paper, you sign your whole name. Do you know that God knows your name, your whole name? Not because you're in trouble, but because you are important to God. And God loves you. In a few minutes, you're going to hear some scripture read. And in the middle of it, kind of near the beginning of the middle, you're going to hear this part of it. It's going to say, I have called you by name, and you are mine. It's a reminder that God knows our name, our whole name. All our nicknames and every name that anybody's ever called us, God knows them all. God knows your name, and God loves you, and you are God's child. I want to teach you how to do a special kind of prayer today. It's called a breath prayer. So the first thing we're going to do is practice breathing. Can you take a real deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth? Real deep. Ready? Go. Okay. Do it one more time. All right. They can do it with us, okay? Y'all can practice out there. This time, when you breathe in through your nose, I want you to think these words in your mind. And I want you to think, I have called you by name. And then when you let that breath out, I want you to say, think in your mind, and you are mine. Okay? So we're going to think those thoughts. I'm going to say them for you, and you do the breathing, okay? I have called you by name, and you are mine. Do it one more time. I have called you by name, and you are mine. So this is a prayer called a breath prayer. And any time that you are scared or that you are worried or when you have something really big, like a really big test or a doctor's appointment where maybe you're going to get shots and you don't like them so much, or you're just really worried about something, or maybe you have a big baseball game or a soccer game, and you need to remember that God loves you, I want you to try that prayer, because you can do it anywhere. So one more time, and it's going to be our last time doing it this morning. So what are you going to think in your brain when you breathe in? I have called you by name. And when you breathe out, say, and you are mine. Okay, do it one more time. Ready, y'all? Get ready to breathe. I have called you by name, and you are mine. So I want you to practice that breath prayer this week, okay? All right.
Hear now these words from Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Ever faithful God, you who called Abraham to follow you, that you would create a people from his family, we worship today with gratitude that each of us is included in the family of God. We praise you, Lord, for you have indeed redeemed us. You have indeed called each of us by name, and you have claimed us as your own. And so our hearts are full, for we are known and we are loved. Even after we have each turned to our own ways. But we are reminded through Scripture about those simple words, those three words, do not fear. Yet we confess that often we do live with fear. We are fearful as we transition into 2019. For we have set resolutions, but will we be able to maintain them? We are fearful, for we face new challenges, and we wonder if these challenges might overwhelm us. For others, there is even the fear of the unknown, for we are afraid even if we do not yet know what we are afraid of. We pray this morning that the grace and peace of the Holy Spirit would be with us in all things. Remind us, God, of the stories of your faithfulness, such as the way that you walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through the fiery furnace. And also remind us of the stories of your faithfulness even to us, how you have provided comfort in our grief, how you have provided reconciliation when we have been in conflict, and how you have provided simple moments of joy. Gracious and merciful God, even while we walk through the valleys of our lives, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. Grant us peace, O gentle Spirit. Grant us patience, for you have shown yourself to be faithful in all things. So even in the midst of our fear, may we rejoice, Lord Jesus. Let us rejoice, for you are Emmanuel, God with us. And you have been with us in all things. And you have promised to always be with us. We rejoice knowing that you are with us as we worship, but you are also with those who must be outside on a cold, rainy morning. What a blessing to know that there is nothing that can separate us from you nor your love. A love which is exemplified by the community of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A love which sustains us in all things, even as we pray. Amen.
Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the season of new beginnings. We are thankful for the many blessings you have and will continue to provide each of us and the strength to deal with our challenges. We are so excited and grateful to welcome Chrissy, Justin, and Mia into the Greystone Church family and can't wait to see what you have planned for the next stage of Greystone's life. We welcome them with loving open arms and are excited about growing our faith community together. And just as baptism provides the opportunity to be born again, so does this new chapter in our church's life. Help us to be open-minded and accepting of the many opportunities and challenges that await us on our journey together. Help us keep you at the center of our lives and to remember that it is not about our will, but thy will be done. Remind us to love and pray for each other and that all things are possible through Christ. Amen.
Today's lesson is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, 21, and 22. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson.
Thanks be to God.
Beautiful reminder. We will not fear. It is good to finally be here with you after 2 long months of waiting. I know that time has been difficult for all of us, but hear me from the depths of my heart when I say it is good to be here and worship with you this morning. I'd like to share with you on this first Sunday after the Epiphany, the Sunday of the baptism of Jesus, a few thoughts on the theme of a church of the broken beloved. Water can be a beautiful thing. The last couple of weeks since my family and I have moved to Raleigh, we've enjoyed taking walks and runs around Shelley Lake, part of the Greenway system. Now, I'm used to jogging on sidewalks through suburban neighborhoods, so the Greenway system here that allows amateur runners like myself to experience the sights and sounds of nature is truly a gift. It's motivating, and it helps one get outside on a cold morning. With the days of rain and shine, and now it looks like rain again, I've been able to watch the levels of the water rise and fall over creek rocks. And on Wednesday night, water appeared again when someone posed, I think it was Amanda, posed the question to me, beach or mountains, which is your favorite? To which I quickly responded, well, beach, of course. What I didn't say is that I like the beach, but I'm not crazy about the ocean. I know it's rare for a fair-skinned redhead to prefer the sand and the sun, but I do. So if you ever see one another at the beach, you will not see me surfing or out in the waves. You will see me sitting on the sidelines, soaking up the sun. You see, I have a healthy respect for the ocean, for the waves and their beauty and their power. And if you've ever seen a storm roll in over the ocean, you know the tension that it offers. Once friendly waves, seemingly made for recreation, can quickly become dangerous and life-threatening. Water can be a terrifying thing, especially when accompanied by overconfidence that one really can do anything she wants to. I can still remember a particular youth retreat that I attended, probably one of the last ones when I was a member of the youth group myself. We were at Lake Junaluska, and during the afternoon break, a few of my friends and I decided to go for a walk. At one point, some decided that it would be a really good idea for us to swim back rather than walk back. And I'm not sure if we wore swimsuits or if we were wearing our street clothes, but we all went along with it. So in the water, we jumped. I don't remember what we were wearing that day. I don't remember why we decided to jump in the water, but I remember believing in my core that I could do it. My friends jumped in, they took off, and I jumped in behind them. They were well ahead of me, but that was fine because I've never been a great swimmer, never taken swim lessons, never swam on a swim team, never really spent a whole lot of time in the water. But I knew I could do it, so all was well. I was about halfway across when my friends reached the other side, but the water was calm, the sun was out, no problem. So I paddled along with very little skill, and I realized soon that my arms and legs were not as strong or capable as I thought they were. Giving myself little pep talks as I kicked my feet and swung my arms, if you've been next to me in the water, you would have heard me saying, I'm sure, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. But before too long, reality set in. I might have thought I could, but the reality is I actually could not. I was in trouble. Despite my best efforts, the shoreline before me seemed to stretch further and further away, and as the dry land distanced itself from my reach, my destiny became clear. I would die in Lake Junaluska. I struggled with the water. I tried to stay afloat, and I yelled out to my friends on shore, but they didn't hear me at first. They couldn't hear me until after a few moments of my trying to get their attention, but once they realized what was happening, that I was really struggling and I couldn't make it, one of them dove back into the water and swam out to help me. Now, my dad's here, and I'm aware that he may have never heard this story before. So have some grace and mercy with him. But eventually, with the help of my friends, and obviously I'm standing here today, I made it to dry land. But I have never forgotten the feeling of being in the middle of Lake Junaluska and recognizing that I was not as strong as I thought I was, and I could not make it alone. In those moments, as I was caught between my own limited capacities and the tremendous power of Mother Nature, a sense of fear and awe began to grow within me. It was one of many humbling moments that would come in my life when I realized and had to admit that I was not invincible, that my end really would come, and that it could come as a surprise. Water can be a beautiful thing, but water can also be a terrifying thing. Water gives us life. It makes up over half of our bodies. Without water, most of us could not make it more than just a few days. Water grows our plants. It keeps creation alive, but water also threatens our security and our stability. When it rains too much, the root systems in our trees decay and trees fall. When it rains too much, we experience flooding. Ask any homeowner in the room, and I bet they'll tell you their biggest fear is a slow and steady, undetectable leak. It can cause a lot of damage. And yet it's absolutely 100% impossible to live your life without experiencing both the beauty and the torment of water. Today's readings from Isaiah and Luke also remind us of this beauty and torment, the tension of water. As good students of the Bible, we already know that water plays a prominent role in both Testaments. You may remember the flood of Genesis, which wiped out almost all living things. You may remember the river that flowed and kept baby Moses alive from Pharaoh. You may remember the sea that crashed in on the Egyptians when the Hebrew people were escaping captivity, or you may remember the seas that offered Jesus rest after he had been teaching the crowds. You may remember those same seas produced a pescatarian feast and also famine for the disciples who would be fishermen. These and many stories from the Bible remind us that water in the ancient world is and was as ever-present as it is today. Perhaps that's why it makes such a good metaphor for life. The first Sunday after Epiphany today, it is celebrated in churches around the world as the Sunday of the baptism of our Lord. On this Sunday, many churches like ours read the same verses that we did from Luke and Isaiah. And what I love about this pairing is that on this particular Sunday, it reminds us of both the calling into and the challenge of being in the water. And it starts us off that way right at the beginning of the year. If you read them closely, both the prophet and the gospel describe a people who are called by God to a particular vocation, a unique identity, a specific work and witness in the world. That is God-given, and it's theirs to maintain. The people of Israel, for whom Isaiah's words are spoken, were God's chosen people. They had been molded and formed and shaped by God's covenant, and they spent their lives in the ebb and flow of attempting righteous living. A quick read through the book's 66 chapters will have you on this roller coaster ride of condemnation and redemption. God saves the people rebel, God punishes, they repent, and after a while it begins to sound a little bit like a parenting journal. As a reader, it's easy to judge, but a quick reality check or a look in the mirror will have you realize that we aren't all that different. Just like Israel, we are broken, we are imperfect, and in constant need of God's grace. Isn't that what baptism is all about? We acknowledge before God and before church that we are broken people in need of God's forgiveness and grace. And so I suppose it's fitting that on this Sunday, which comes in the middle of January, this is what we're here talking about: our brokenness, our need for forgiveness and grace. We're only a few weeks into this new year, and most of us have already lost sight of our resolutions. Those daily trips to the gym have become every other day. New diets are compromised by stressful days at work and the need for comfort food. The arguments with our spouse that we promised we wouldn't have as often, they're back. And the quiet time in the morning that we were going to set aside for prayer and reflection, meditation and listening, that time has become impossible to defend while juggling the responsibilities of getting the kids to school, getting to work on time, and dealing with that sleepless night the night before. Yep, here we are, in the middle of January, face to face with the reality that we've already fallen short. We are broken and imperfect people. I wonder if our baptismal promises fade as quickly as those New Year's resolutions. How often do we think about our commitments that we profess here in front of the congregation, before the water? How often do we remember this promise to die to self and to live for God, following Jesus in the way that the disciples did? Sometimes owning up to this feels a little bit like a trap. Feels like we're doomed to fail from the beginning. Maybe we set that goal a little too high. Sometimes it seems as though the only way out is to turn around, to resign ourselves to thinking that we'd aim too high, that reconciliation, that healthy relationships aren't even possible at all. I've heard this described by folks as drowning in the sea of life, struggling to get our feet on dry ground, searching for the lifeboat. Have you been there? I can remember that Jenna Luska experience as I think about the times in my own life when I have felt to be drowning. Drowning in responsibilities, drowning in commitments, drowning in hopes and dreams, drowning or feeling like I'm drowning, even when I'm on the path I believe God has called me down in the first place. As tempting as it is sometimes to turn around and choose a more comfortable way, I remember that the words from Isaiah read just a few moments ago do not say when you pass through the waters, when they get too high, retreat, turn around. They do not say if you pass through rough waters, this may not be the right direction in the first place, choose another path. No. Isaiah says, do not fear. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And the waves, they will not overwhelm you. Do not fear. There is a forward motion and directive to God's call through the prophets. It is a calling for us to go deeper into the water with a directive, do not fear, and a promise, I will be with you. This is a calling that's both individual and communal. The people of Israel certainly had struggles of their own, but their lives were knit together, woven and rooted in community. For them, the covenant, their sin, and their redemption was communal. In today's gospel reading from Luke, we meet Jesus also as he is stepping into the water, joined by others in response to John's call for a baptism of repentance and forgiveness. Jesus enters the water and is baptized. And it's important to note that in Luke's gospel, Jesus isn't baptized alone off privately with John over on the side. No, Jesus joins a crowd that is formed, and they're ready to go into the water together. This may seem like a small detail. It might be easy to overlook, but remember that John's theology of baptism is one of repentance and forgiveness. So if we believe that Jesus is without sin, then we have to read the story as one that tells us about Jesus' act of baptism as a gesture of community. It is a movement of solidarity. Jesus is with the people. Maybe Jesus' actions in the wilderness with John and the crowds is an example of God's own solidarity with us as we recognize our own need for forgiveness. Now, some of us in this room have already decided to be baptized or to enter the water. Accepting our brokenness and publicly declaring our need for God's forgiveness, others may not have taken that step, but all of us, when we're honest, recognize that we are indeed broken and imperfect. We're broken individuals living in broken communities, operating within broken systems, and I would venture to say, even worshiping in broken churches. But if Jesus is in the practice of getting into the water with us, and if the God of Isaiah promises that when we pass through those waters, in all kinds of waters, God will be with us, then shouldn't we too have a little faith that the Spirit might be holding all of us together, even in this brokenness? Maybe the healing is in the water itself. The text says that when Jesus comes out of the water and begins to pray, the heavens open and a voice comes down with the same promise that you and I may have received at our baptism. And it goes like this: You are my beloved child. This promise echoes that of the prophet and who proclaims to Israel, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. In both cases, the water reveals the healing promise from God that we are loved, we are accepted, we are claimed, and we are called forth by God. Those ancient blessings are there, and they are available for us if we would only follow Jesus into the water. Do not fear. I have called your name. You are mine, my beloved. Now, I know that water can be a terrifying thing. If we're willing to face our fears and admit to our weaknesses, own up to our brokenness, the waters that we are most afraid of may be the very path to salvation. Perhaps they can save our lives. Perhaps they can rebuild our communion. Perhaps they can restore a church as a healing force in the world. When I think about that, what that looks like, I remember my friends that afternoon at Lake Junaluska who recognized I was struggling. They saw that I was unable to swim the whole distance, and they became the church for me that day. They saw my need. They called my name. They came to where I was, and they made sure to bring me back to dry land. But it required that they jump back into the water with me. What if the church could be like those friends? What if the church could be a little courageous, bold enough to get back into the water? What if we could bring the church to life and carry forth that promise that we are God's broken beloved? What if we brought that into the world? Now, we haven't been together that long, as you know, 5 days, I think. But when I look out, when I look at you, I see a people who are broken. I see a people who are worn down, tired, tossed about. But you probably see the same thing when you look at me and when you look at each other. We are broken people. But when I look out, I see something else. I also see a people who are deeply committed to being God's church in this world. I've only been with you a few days, but I've seen the ways that you pour out God's blessing on this corner of North Raleigh, and I see the ways that you are bringing God's blessing into the world. You are naming refugees and buddy break VIPs and caregivers and parents and grandparents and all others who this world has named broken. You are naming them beloved. I see a people who want a church where they can gather for healing and empowerment for the week ahead. I see individuals trying to reckon with their own imperfection and a messy reality. I see people who are clinging to that sacred promise that we find in the gospel. You are my beloved. And I see a crowd of people not all that different from the crowd that Jesus joined down by the baptismal waters, ready to love, ready to forgive one another, ready to embrace and empower one another, and ready to move forward as a church, broken, beloved, beautifully proclaiming the love of God in this neighborhood and in every neighborhood. Water can be a terrifying thing, but water can also be a beautiful thing. What do you say? Shall we step in together? As you continue with your silence, with your time to reflect on what God may be speaking to you in this moment, I wanted to extend a special invitation today. We have bowls of water located close to the back doors. Many of you saw them on your way in. It's an opportunity for you to touch and feel water, and in so doing, to be reminded of your baptism, of your awareness that you are indeed a broken person operating in a broken world, but claiming the promise that you are indeed a loved person and that you have God's gift of love to lavish upon the world. So when the time comes for you to leave, please take a moment and stop by those bowls of water and dip your hands in and just get a feel.
This may be a community of faith that you've been a part of for many years. This may be a community of faith that you've been a part of for one or two Sundays. Whatever it may be, we hope that you have found this to be a place of belonging, just like the waters of baptism are waters of belonging, waters of being reminded that you are beloved. We've come to a time in our service for a time of response. And as we do every week, this is an opportunity for you to join this community of faith or to profess your own faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Whatever it may be, let us respond to a God who extends a voice saying, "You are my child, you are the beloved." Let us respond together as we stand to sing. Quick word, we do remind you that if it is your preference in this season of cold and flu to offer the holy fist bump or elbow, that is your invitation this morning. But let's proceed. The peace of Christ be with you. Please turn and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Thank you.
Well, as always, we are grateful for your presence with us in worship this morning. Just a couple of announcements. Do remember that our Wednesday evenings have started back up for the spring semester, winter, however you want to consider it. But do remember to sign up for dinner if that's something if you're interested in, as we do a reservations process for that. Dinner begins at 5:30 on Wednesday nights. Also, we are starting sign-ups for our Crock-Pot Cook-Off, which will be in a couple of weeks on Saturday afternoon, January the 26th, if I got my dates right, but I'm not looking at a calendar. Anyway, there is a sign-up outside in the hallway, and we do hope you will take a look at that on your way out the door this morning. Well, it is my joy and privilege to introduce some new members this morning. We are glad to have Chrissy Tatum Williamson and her husband Justin and their daughter Mia coming. By transfer of letter from a sister Baptist church. If you affirm their decision to join our community of faith, would you say thanks be to God?
Thanks be to God.
And as is our custom, we are going to recite as a group our church mission statement. It is printed on the back of your worship guide this morning. So I'll give everyone a moment to find it. It's also on the screen. We are glad that it's on the screen. That is a little new. Let's start. With Christ as the cornerstone, we will build a church of living stones where every member is a minister and is equipped to express God's love by word and deed to all people. And what is maybe a little bit different, Chrissy and Justin and Mia will be outside, not in the hallway as you exit today, not outside, so they won't get rained on. It's hard to explain. There's lots of exits to a sanctuary. But we do hope you'll stop and say hello to them and welcome to them to our community of faith this morning. Now let us continue and worship together as we sing, Going Out, Go in Peace.
Go.
Of this sanctuary, depart knowing first and foremost that God has called you beloved, and God has promised never to leave you, never to leave you alone to tread through the waters of life. And so as you go, go in peace, knowing that the God who created you calls you deep into the water. Go with grace, knowing that the God who calls you into the deep is there with you every step of the way. And go in love, awake, aware, and ready to lavish the world with the love that you have received from God, made known to us in Jesus Christ.